The 20th of December, Friday night in the NBA. Only three games. A little bit to talk about. Shouldn't be a quick one. We are running a bit late, so we'll try and get this done as quickly as we can. This is the Friday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Ball Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Three games. Let's get into them. Sorry, the show is a bit late. Sort of a weird time, I would assume. It's very late in the US or super early in the morning on the East Coast. Europe is, what, mid-morning, I think, on a Saturday. So anyway, we'll bang this out. We'll get it done. For Charlotte, we had LaMelo Ball. We had Mark Williams both sidelined due to rest, injury management, whatever we're calling it. So we talked about on the pregame show picking up Nick Richards, picking up Vasili Micic for tonight. I think it worked out. I think Micic was good, 20 points, four assists, didn't get a steal, three threes, hit all of them. So I don't think you can really complain. Now you can drop him because LaMelo will come back in the next game. Nick Richards, 10 and 6 with a block. Again, I think that's fine. I don't think it's great, but yeah, you got something for nothing, basically, and you drop him for the next game. Miles Bridges was bad. The line doesn't look too bad. He finished with 15 and 7, two blocks and a steal. A lot of this came late in the game. He just, I don't know, not having LaMelo there, I think, hurts him a bit. He's outside the top 120, I think, this season. So he's been fine, but quietly underwhelming, I think. Diabate had 7 rebounds off the bench. If you did stream him in, that's okay. But all of this changes once they get Ball and Williams back in the next game. For Philly, they had their big three available for what feels like the third, fourth time. I don't know. It hasn't happened very often. And they won. It wasn't as convincing as probably they would like, but they'll take it. Joel Embiid, 31 minutes, 34 and 9, two steals, two blocks, 8 of 9 from the line. Pretty good. Exactly what we would expect from Joel Embiid, especially against a Charlotte team with Nick Richards at center. So probably a best case scenario for Embiid here. Sell high if you can. Anytime he performs like this, I would be trying to float offers out there. Kelly Oubre continues to play really well. Tyrese Maxey, I thought, was good in this one, 23 and 6 with a steal and a block. Paul George, on the other hand, was not. He had 10 rebounds, he had 8 assists, he had 3 steals. So the peripheral numbers are good, but 5 points on 2 of 12 shooting, just not his night. And with everyone healthy, pretty much all of their fringe guys just fall into oblivion here. So no value. But they do play tomorrow, I believe. So I would expect Joel Embiid to sit that one, which means we want to have a look at Andre Drummond for tomorrow. Let's just have a look at who they do play, actually. Okay, Saturday. Philly, they must be on the road. Yes, they play Cleveland. So Drummond, it would be tomorrow against Mobley and Jarrett Allen. We will be looking for Andre Drummond to potentially play significant minutes tomorrow. Embiid's already been ruled out. Okay, I'll put that up there. Old man in the sea, thank you. Paul George would play. It was only Embiid, and obviously if he's already been ruled out, then go and pick up Andre Drummond or hold Andre Drummond if you had him for tonight's game anyway. The Bucks, coming off their in-season tournament win, fall to Cleveland. They were never really in this one. They didn't have Dame Lillard, 124-101. For the Bucks, Giannis was very good. We had AJ Green move into the starting lineup, and I streamed him in for threes, and he got zero threes. He got a steal and a block, but probably his worst game in the last month, I would say. He was just a stream, so I'm not happy about it, but I'm fine. I just drop him and pick up someone for tomorrow, or more likely for Sunday, given there are 12 games, I think, tomorrow. Lopez was very Lopez, 10 and 6 with two blocks. Chris Middleton had 14 points off the bench. Look, we're rostering him. Based on what we saw here, if Lillard is out, it's just going to be bits and pieces from everyone. We had 18 minutes from Gary Trent, 17 from DeLon Wright, 13 from Pat Connaughton. Marjon Beauchamp had a look. This was also a blowout, so I wouldn't sort of read into this one too much, but I don't think Dame is expected to miss too much time. So we're not really making significant moves here. For Cleveland, they weren't stretched too far here. The starters all under 28 minutes. Dean Wade, somehow, 15, 5, and 2. So arguably his best game of the season. We aren't adding Dean Wade here. Max Strus, 9 points, 2 assists in his 19 minutes. And as I said, I think all he really does is cut into the value of other players. So LeVert had 18 minutes. George Niang had 17. I wouldn't take too much out of this side of the box score either, given the result was never really in doubt. So, yeah, quick one. Not a lot to discuss in that game. OKC get the win over Miami, 104-97. So another tough, hard-fought win for the Thunder, which they seem to be getting much better at. Just reading here. Okay, so Doc is not sure if Dame is going to play. Oh, they absolutely won't rush him. And, yeah, if they do play Washington, I haven't looked that far ahead, then there is probably a decent chance that he doesn't play because Washington are just not that good. For the Thunder, Jalen Williams, 33 points, zero steals, which is sort of a weird anomaly, had a block, four threes. So a nice game after a couple of average games. Let's call them average. Lou Dort had 14 points with two steals in his 32 minutes. I still think of that bunch, he is the one we want to roster just because he typically gets the minutes. Hartenstein, another double-double, really good. Cason Wallace, we're okay. When he's hot, you stream him in for steals. Alex Caruso, likewise. The minutes are interesting here, 25 minutes, only 4 points, but he had two steals, he had two blocks. So he would be the preference purely for defensive streaming purposes. I think Cason Wallace has a little bit more offensive upside, but not much. Isaiah Joe for threes, but only had one of them here. So we know the story with the Thunder, and nothing really changes. Miami, though, Jimmy Butler, he left with it was an illness. He did look to or appear to injure his ankle as well. So I would, again, I haven't looked at the, I need to have a look at the injury report because I need to go and update the injury report. But, no word, I don't think, officially on whether Jimmy Butler will play in their next game unless someone has heard something. He only played 7 minutes. So with him out, we got 30 minutes of Drew Smith. Now, many of you probably don't even know who Drew Smith is, but he has been putting together a nice little run here. He's played significant minutes, meaningful minutes, however we want to call it, in over the last week. He's finding a way into value. Thanks to injuries and things like that. So, all right, game log is up. So he's played at least 30 minutes in three straight games. at least 25 minutes in five straight games. The steal count, that's where his value is primarily coming from. He's got 2-6-1-0-2, but he is hitting some threes. I don't know. He's interesting. He seems to have earned the trust here of Eric Spoelstra, and is playing over guys like Jaime Jaquez, Terry Rozier, Nikola Jovic. So I think he's potentially worth a look, especially with Jimmy 50-50 for Saturday's game, because they do also play, I believe, Miami. Yes, they play Orlando tomorrow. So, okay, and Jimmy didn't travel with the team. So, yeah, knowing the Heat, knowing Jimmy, pretty good chance he doesn't play tomorrow. So I would give Drew Smith a look, I think. Tomorrow is going to be tough, 12 games. You might not have a streaming spot available, but if you do, I don't know, just grab him. Let's see where this goes. I'd certainly much rather have him over Hayward Highsmith, over Jaime Jaquez, as I said, over Jovic, probably over Rozier as well. Rozier just continues to stink. He had 7 points in 23 minutes off the bench. Tyler Hero continues to play really well. Duncan Robinson is a three-point stream option. Bam, pretty good night for Bam. His season's been pretty mid, I think, in terms of what we expect from Bam, but this was okay. But Drew Smith is sort of the name we want to be watching here. Now, that's all the games, so it was a quick one. Just something I want to quickly touch on, and it is something that as we were coming home from our Christmas family thing today, and I was half asleep in the back of my car while my daughter was driving, and I was listening to Josh, one of Josh's podcasts. I think it was his rap or his game recap from yesterday, from the 13 games, and a couple of times he talked about he was sort of calling it the Drew Holiday effect or something to the along those lines. I can't remember exactly, but basically what he was talking about, and I think this is important and a bit of clarification is good. When we say that someone is droppable, like a Terry Rozier, or in the case that Josh was talking about, Drew Holiday, and there was someone else he had as an example, I can't think who it was. What we're saying, I think, and what we need to clarify is that you don't have to drop that person. So you don't, if we say someone, we think they're a drop, don't just go, oh, okay, this guy is someone I need to drop. I'm going to drop him. Now, who can I add? There are situations, obviously, where you won't want to drop them. And you would only drop them if you are getting someone of equal or better value off the waiver wire, which is not always going to be available. There's not always going to be a player that you look at and go, I think this guy has a clearer path to minutes, can be better than Drew Holiday. Because we know that Drew Holiday can be a top 80 player, hasn't been so far. So you're not always going to find someone. But I think what you need to keep in mind is when we say someone is droppable, we are potentially saying that you should open that spot up for streaming. And so you don't want to look at one-for-one swap. You want to look at, will I get more value from 3 games of Drew Holiday or 6 games of, I don't know, insert player here, Drew Smith. You might get 2 games from Drew Smith, and then you might be able to go and pick up Ayo Dosunmu, get 2 games from Ayo Dosunmu, and then get 2 games from, God, I don't know, Duncan Robinson, for example. So you might get 6 games of less per game value, but 6 games compared to 3 is, in a lot of instances, especially when it is someone that we are saying can be dropped, you're probably going to get better value from 6 games. So just keep that in mind. We're not always talking about just drop this one player and add someone else. We are potentially talking about the volume, so quantity over quality. Maybe we put it that way. All right, let's just do this question from Ernest very quickly. You have DeRozan and Tobias in your 12-team redraft punt field goal team. Performances are starting to worry, especially DeRozan, who are some reasonable targets for a trade. Let's bring up some game logs here, shall we? All right, DeRozan. DeRozan is certainly a buy low at the moment. He has had some back issues this season. You always need to factor that in when you're talking about older players. He's not super old, but he's on the back end of his career, let's say that. So I do think it is a bit of a buy low for DeRozan. So in that respect, I probably wouldn't be looking to move off him just yet. Tobias Harris, I think I would certainly much rather have DeRozan over Tobias. I think DeRozan will still be a top 50 player this season. I think Tobias is probably top 80, top 90. I think you could probably move Tobias for a top 80 sort of a player. Again, is this the best time to be doing that? I don't know. He hasn't been great of late, but he hasn't been great all season either. So you could argue that, is there going to be a best time to move off of Tobias Harris? I just pulled up his game log. Yeah, look, it wouldn't be now, I don't think. He's coming off he had a missed game. Either side of that, he had 8 points and 9 points respectively with not much else. So I would probably wait until we get a couple of decent games from either player if you're looking to move off them. DeRozan, I would be trying to get a top 50 player at least. I still think he's in that range. Tobias, if you could get the top 70, I absolutely would. But if you could get even a top 80. So I'm just looking at guys in that sort of range who you might be able to get. And it does depend what categories you need. I don't know. If you could get Peyton Pritchard, I'd be interested in him. Miles Bridges might be another one. I did say he has been pretty bad, but I might just rather Miles Bridges. Maybe you can get Cam Thomas because he's injured at the moment. I don't think you can get someone like a Cam Johnson. They're playing too well at the moment. Who else is sort of struggling? OG Anunoby, he's been pretty bad of late. Dyson Daniels has been bad of late. I'd take all those guys over Tobias Harris, but not over DeMar DeRozan. So hopefully that sort of answers the question. And I'm going to get out of here. I need to go and have some dinner. I will be back with a pregame show tomorrow, 12 games, so it'll be a slightly longer one, I think. And then I think I'm doing a show tomorrow night with DMAC as well, NBA Fantasy Bible. I have no idea what we're going to talk about yet, but we'll figure it out on the fly. But that'll do. Let's put a pin in that one right there. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening and downloading. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.